Great to be here this morning. We did have a lot of fun yesterday. I got to visit Cedar Elementary School, and we picked up garbage and found some fans of Cedar Elementary School. Good. We found a ton of broken glass there, so I think some good stuff was done, and we saw bags of garbage from all the sites, so yeah, it was great to serve with you, great to learn with you yesterday. Pastor Steve had to go back to Saanich Baptist Church. He had to preach this morning, and so I said, you know what, I would be more than happy to preach at Campbell River Baptist Church, but I said, we have to do a deal. So Pastor Robin is speaking at Ocean View this morning. So we did a little swap there, so that's kind of fun. When I agreed to do this, I forgot to look on the calendar and didn't realize until about a month ago that I was actually leaving on Father's Day, and my kids figured that out on Friday night, and they were not very happy, but they made me a cute little card with a tie on it. There you go. So I will get to see them later this afternoon, and that will be fun. As Adrian mentioned, Chris mentioned, I have been the pastor at Ocean View Community Church in Ladysmith for the last 3.5 years. We started in January 2010. And it's been 3.5 pretty exciting years. God's done a lot of great things through the people of Ocean View Community Church. And we're going to learn about that this morning. We're going to open up God's Word to Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to see what God has to tell us. Yeah, if you have your Bible, please open it to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 13 through 16 in just a moment. It was November 2009. And my wife, Lori, and I, and our two daughters, Callista and Malia, we're just going to back up a slide there. Oh. Nope. Okay, never mind. Leave it on the title slide. And we felt a call. It had been 14 years at Saanich Baptist Church, which was a wonderful experience. But inside, I was feeling that desire to lead. And a lot of churches were starting to call. I remember going to our fellowship convention the year before and meeting a lot of pastors, and they said, are you still at that church in Victoria? What are you doing there? They said, it's time to leave the nest, little birdie. Fly. And then over the next year, we really felt God's call and looked at a bunch of different opportunities around the province. And then I learned about the little church in Ladysmith. And what attracted us there was that they were a group of people that had been plateaued, flatlined, nothing happening for over 5 years in their church. And they felt like they were spinning their wheels. And they were tired of doing nothing. They wanted to get out. They wanted to get outside their walls and impact their community. They just didn't know how. And once I learned that, once I met the people, once I candidated there, I said, that's the kind of group that I can work with. They are desperate to change. And the church did a neat thing. When I candidated in the fall of 2009 and I finished up at Saanich Baptist Church in November, they began sending me the local paper, the Ladysmith Chronicle. And if you're in a city, you get a ton of local papers. Nobody reads them. But in a small town, everybody reads the local paper, partly because your picture's in it half the time and you want to see yourself in there. And so I began reading the local paper, and almost every single edition had a story about a kids' park in town. And that kids' park had been built 25 years before. The rain and the climate had rotted that wood. It was untreated. And finally, a kid had stepped on a board, and it had cracked and fallen through, and they finally said, okay, that's it. We've known we've needed to replace this park for a long time. That's the final straw. And so they ripped it out. And when we showed up, there was nothing but a flat patch of gravel. And so I've been reading these stories. So my very first leadership team meeting, went in with our deacons, and I plunked the paper down. I said, guys, I know nothing about Ladysmith yet, but I'm eager to learn. I said, I'm reading in your local paper all about this kids park. Is this a project that you think that we can get behind? And they said, yeah, we love that park. My kids used to play on that park. That's a really great project. I think we can get behind that. So we took it to the church, and at that point in time, we were about 95 people, And of those 95, we had about 40% of our congregation in their late 70s, early 80s, 90s, and so living on a fixed income. And so we took it to them and said, here's our crazy idea. Do you think we can bless our community by contributing to this kids' park? And they all got excited about it and voted, yes, we're going to do that. So we targeted Easter Sunday that first year, and we hyped it up for several months. And in my wildest dreams, I thought, wouldn't it be amazing if we could raise $3,000 for that kids' park? And the congregation, God touched their hearts. They dug deep, blew my socks off when we gave over $5,000 to that offering. And it was one of the most exciting moments of my life when we got to go and give that to the town of Ladysmith, to the mayor, to the council, and to the local kinsman club who was heading up that project. And their mouths kind of fell open, and they said, you're just giving us money. Really? $5,000? And there's no strings attached? And we said, no. And we said, God loves us, he's blessed us, and now we get to bless you. And that single act of generosity opened up all kinds of doors for us as a church. And it's been pretty exciting over the last 3.5 years to get outside the walls of our church to serve our community in a really meaningful way. My whole first year at Ocean View Church in Ladysmith, I wondered, does this church have a bad reputation in town? It was planted back in 1978, and I wondered, what do people think of this little church, this little Fellowship Baptist Church here in Ladysmith? And after a year, I determined, no, this church doesn't have a bad reputation. This church just has no reputation. I would meet people and introduce myself. I'd say, hi, my name's Darren Phillips. I'm the new pastor over at Ocean View Church. And they'd say, where is that? And I would say, well, Davis Road, right across from Ricky's Restaurant. And they'd say, oh, I know Ricky's Restaurant. There's a church there? I said, yeah, a little blue and white one, got a cross on it. No. And so I got the idea fairly quickly. Yeah, this church is just kind of invisible in this community. And God had really laid on our hearts that we needed to change that. And it's been pretty exciting in the years since. We've seen our church this past winter average about 175 people. We've seen our kids program go from 6 kids to 60. We've seen a little junior high ministry. We've seen a seniors ministry start up. Lots of exciting growth. But we had to do it not because we thought, you know what, if we get outside our walls, that'll help our church grow. We had to come to the place where we had to be convinced that that's exactly what Jesus would want us to do no matter what happened, no matter if we grew or not, that loving and serving people who do not yet know Jesus is good in and of itself. And so this morning, as I'm speaking to you, we come with a huge measure of humility. We're a church, yeah, as I said, of about 175 people. We do not have it all figured out. I think your church is a lot better at a lot of other different things. But this is one area where we've taken some ground and seen God work, and that's what we're going to share with you this morning. We're going to show a picture. There's the Chronicle. There's the Kids Park. And we're going to show the next picture is us serving at a root beer and burger night at the community hall. And as we began doing those kind of things out in the community, we began to gain visibility and credibility. Well, finally, after 16 months of hard work at fundraisers and all those kind of things, we got to help build the first phase of the park. And like all things, God decided we just needed a little bit more testing. So we decided to do it on the worst possible day in March of that year. It rained, it blew, it was cold, but it was an incredible day of working together. And we got a little video we're going to show you right now. So I want you to turn your eyes to the screen and watch this video.
I hope, I hope, I hope, I hope, I hope, I You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. The greater things have yet to come. You're the God of this city. You're the King of this people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like.
One of my favorite parts of that. Yeah, it was exciting. It was fun. One of my favorite parts of that day was holding the wheelbarrow, and the mayor and a couple other guys were shoveling sloppy mud and clay into it, and they filled it up, and I picked it up, and I had to head down this sloppy little trail and up a 2x4 and get it up over the bank and dump it. And the mayor's leaning on his shovel, and he goes, "Hey, pastor, I'll pray for you." It was great. You know, loving and serving your community ultimately isn't the latest church growth strategy or fad. This isn't something that just kind of came up in the last few years and is going to slide away and die. Really, this is something that God has intended us to be doing as a community of faith, as a body of believers right from the beginning. And at different points in church history, people have been doing this, and it's always made an impact where they lived. Really, what we're talking about this morning is reclaiming something from our Christian heritage that at certain points the church has let go, has slipped by. And I want us to take us back this morning to the very words of Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 5. Read with me Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Beautiful and amazing words from Jesus. In that passage, Jesus says that we are salt. Salt is an everyday common substance. But if you stop and think about a few of your favorite foods without salt, what would they be like? Have you ever had unsalted peanut butter? add in unroasted, unsalted peanut butter, that stuff's almost inedible. Completely disgusting. I think we even had a slide there of a baby being disgusting. You want to advance it to that next slide? Perfect. There we go. He didn't like it at all. What about unsalted sunflower seeds? Just a really weird taste. What about unsalted butter? If you put unsalted butter on unsalted popcorn, pretty bland. Now, it could be argued that Canadians eat probably too much salt, but in moderation, salt makes things taste good. And when Jesus called the people that were listening to his Sermon on the Mount, when he said, "You are salt," part of what he meant is that our good deeds, our loving actions, make our world taste good. They add a pleasing flavor to our community. So salt makes things taste good. The second thing that salt does is that it preserves things. It's been used for thousands of years to slow or prevent decay, especially in meat or fish. Pork is a meat that you need to be careful with in terms of cooking and preserving, but people have been doing salt-cured pork for hundreds of years. When the Swedish people discovered that they could preserve salmon with spices and lots of salt, what we know as lox today, it doesn't even need to be cooked. The salt preserves it. You throw a little lox on a bagel with cream cheese, great stuff. Process of making pastrami. They take raw beef, rub a ton of salt into it and spices, and let it cure before putting in the smoker. So salt preserves things. Jesus is saying that when, as his followers, when we are doing things that impact the community, when people see our good deeds, it has a preservative effect in society. It slows the rate of moral decay. I love this billboard. That love thy neighbor thing, I meant that, God. You know, so many churches today are wringing their hands. They're saying, we've opened our doors. We serve good coffee. We have a wonderful worship team. We just can't figure out why unchurched people aren't flocking through the doors of our church. And when no unchurched people come, what's our typical response? We tend to blame it on our society. It's become so secular. People just don't care about God anymore. It's not like the old days when we used to read the Bible in schools. Well, Campbell River Baptist Church, I want to humbly challenge you today to stop and ask yourself a hard question. What would compel an unchurched person to walk through the doors of Campbell River Baptist Church? You have a beautiful building. You have a committed congregation. You have a wonderful staff, a wonderful leadership team. But I guarantee, despite all the wonderful aspects of your church, that there are people that drive past your building and don't even hardly notice that you're here. So what's the one thing that makes a difference? I've become convinced that when a church gathers together corporately and takes those words of Jesus seriously and says, you know what? We are going to get outside the walls of our church. We're going to love and serve our community in meaningful ways that touch people on their turf, not just inviting them onto our turf. Then I think all kinds of bridges get built. The walls get torn down and people feel free to come in. In any community, there are people living lives of quiet desperation. They are aching for a kind action, a kind word, a cup of coffee. Because those simple things are the vessel, the container that the love of Jesus comes wrapped in. Maybe you're a high school student. All you need to do is walk down the halls. Look at the kids who are depressed, who are feeling those feelings of depression and suicide. What those kids need most is love in action. Well, a few years ago, before I ever started at Ocean View Church, I reached a point where I decided, you know what? I'm done with hand-wringing. I'm done with excuses. Our current cultural situation is what it is. It's time to get over it and get busy. Jesus says we are salt and we are light. Yet if you took a poll in a lot of communities across our wonderful nation of Canada, if you took a poll in that community and said, what does this church, what does this evangelical church mean to this community? What kind of responses would you get? Yesterday in the seminar, we talked about the crucial question. If Campbell River Baptist Church was to close its doors tomorrow, what would be the response of the people of Campbell River? Would they weep and wail? Would they fight to keep your church open? What kind of impact are they currently experiencing? Well, my second point is entitled, Are Actions Equal an Enhanced Reputation? I want us to read Matthew 5:16 again, and we're going to pull it apart in a little bit more detail. Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You know, ultimately, Jesus did not say, I have come that you might have a lot of potlucks. As wonderful as potlucks are, keep on doing them. We do them at our church. They're a wonderful thing. But that's not the only reason Jesus came. And Jesus certainly didn't come to say, I came so that you can safely hide behind the walls of a Christian subculture. And a special danger for pastors, Jesus did not say, I have come that you might study. As wonderful as study is, I do it myself, I encourage others to do it, but it's not the only reason Jesus came. You know, ultimately, God is not as concerned with how much of the Bible I know as he is with what I do with what I know. There's a paraphrase of James 3:13, and I love it. It says, if your faith hasn't changed your lifestyle, your faith isn't worth much. Well, I really wanted to discover what was going on in verse 16. And so I went back to the original Greek, and this is what I found. The first word is so or thus. And that means because you are salt, because you are light. That's your nature as followers of Jesus. Then we're supposed to do the following things. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to let our light shine. It literally means to emit rays of light. And most translations, like the NIV I read from, say, let your light shine before men. And in Greek, that word men is anthropon, and it actually means all of humanity, men, women, children, teenagers. It's not just men. So we're supposed to shine, we're supposed to let our light shine to the men, women, children, teenagers we interact with each and every day of each and every week. And it says the point of doing that is so that they see our good deeds, our good works. And the original Greek for good works is two Greek words, kala and erga. Kala means beautiful, and erga means work. And I love that nuance, that when you and I step outside of our comfort zone, outside the walls of our church, the actions that we do have an aspect of beauty to them, that people will see that. As I've talked with Adrian and Pastor Robin, I've gotten the idea that there's a lot of great things going on here at Campbell River Baptist Church. In a lot of ways, you have been loving and serving your community. I've realized that a lot of our older saints here have been doing this individually in your lives for many years. But maybe the next step for you as a church is not just to individually do this at different random times and locations, but to join together as a body, as a whole church, to leverage your collective strength to make an impact together in your community. Well, what do I mean? Well, I'll give you an example, a weird thing that happened to us as a church. We have a guy named Jim in our church. He's our church janitor, works for us about 6 hours a week. And a couple years ago, Jim's full-time job was just down the road at Island Eggs. I didn't know much about Island Eggs. Turns out it's a massive egg processing plant. And so Jim was at the community barbecue, and the lady who runs it, her name is Cheryl, says, Jim, you know, our company is looking for a charity to support, something in the Ladysmith or North Shemanis area. And he said, wow, my church is helping to rebuild a kids' park in Ladysmith? She said, great, tell me all about that. And so Jim began to tell her about it. She said, that's fantastic. That's what we want to support. We will give you eggs. We're just going to back up to the poster there. And we're going to, he said, you want to give us eggs. What exactly do you want us to do with eggs? And she said, well, I'm not sure. And he said, well, how many eggs are we talking about? She said, I don't know, 2,000? He says, wow, okay. And he wasn't sure, you know, did she want us to go door-to-door selling eggs? What? And finally, he just said, well, I'll go talk to my pastor. He's a really weird guy. He'll think of something weird. And so he came and told me. I said, she wants to give us 2,000 eggs. Ah, okay, sure. And so we brought it to our leadership team. We prayed about it. We said, God, this seems like an opportunity. You're plunking in our laps. What are we supposed to do with this? And we all kind of had the same thought that God gave to us. Why don't we turn our church into a one-day cafe and serve omelets? And one of our deacons, Grant, came up with the name Eggs Benefit, like Eggs Benedict. Ah, not bad, eh? And so we did this crazy event. And there's the poster. And we advertised it all over town. And we made sure that everyone knew that every single penny we raised went directly to the park. There was no benefit to us as a church. And what a crazy day it was. We can start showing some of the pictures. There's some of our crew in the kitchen. There's some of our wonderful seniors chopping veggies. They said we cracked, I think, 1,350 eggs that day. We had to park people. And then we did a fun thing. In order to cook the omelets, we had 20 Coleman stoves lined up, pans, flippers, and we got different people like the mayor of Ladysmith, the fire chief, all these different people in town that had a role, and they were our celebrity chefs that day. And it was a really fun thing because they would banter back and forth, and they were giving the fire chief a hard time. They said, don't get your omelet cooked by him, he'll burn it. And as we keep going through the pictures there, you can see there's people lining up, ready to get their omelets cooked, enjoying their omelets. And then there's a cute little shot of a kid. That one made it in the newspaper, eating his omelet. And then the last slide here is Eggs Benefit 2. And so this past November, the mayor came to me and he said, remember that crazy egg thing you did? Would you guys do that again? I said, sure, what's the cause? And he said, well, we have a great walking trail here in Ladysmith, the Holland Creek Trail, and the bridge that goes over it. It was built 25 years ago. It's rotted out. We need to replace it. So next week, we will be flipping omelets again at our church. And you know what's, yeah, well, and I look at something like that, and I realize, you know what? We didn't sit in a room and just think, now, if someone would give us 2,000 eggs, wouldn't that be wonderful? I think what we were praying more is, God, whatever you send us, we're willing. Whatever weird ideas you want us to do, give us the opportunities. That was our prayer, and God dropped something in our laps that we never could have dreamed up. And I think there's a really wonderful aspect to that, that it puts us in a proper place. It makes us realize that unless God shows up, it's only human effort. Unless God shows up, all of those relationships aren't going to go anywhere. Unless God shows up, there's really no lasting community impact that happens. I think it's the wonderful way that God works. He calls us to do it, he gives us the strength to do it, and then he gives us the opportunities. And what he really wants from us is a willing heart that says yes. I'll do it. I'm in. The final Greek word in Matthew 16 is doxososin, and it means to have one's opinion about another influenced so as to enhance the latter's reputation, praise, honor, extol. Jesus says that when we do good works in our community, that people's attitude gets changed. Their thoughts about Jesus, about God, get changed. And that is a wonderful privilege that you and I have. That's the goal, pointing people towards God. And I want to tell you this morning, after 3.5 years of doing this, that Jesus' words in Matthew 5:16 are rock solid. They work. They are proven to be true. I had a great experience. I got to go to Island Haircutters, a little haircutting shop in Ladysmith, and I sat down, and they put the little apron on you, and the lady says, "How do you want your haircut?" And I said, "Well, it's pretty curly. There's not much you can do. Just do it like this." And she says, "So what's your name?" And I said, "I'm Darren Phillips." I said, "I'm the pastor of Ocean View Church across the road." She says, "Oh, you're the priest of the church over there." I said, "Well, my wife would probably argue with you, but sure, a priest, that'll work, whatever. Yes, I'm the pastor of the church over there." And for the next 10 minutes, this woman who I had never met, didn't know her name, didn't know anything about her, she recited to me every single thing that our church had done over that period of time. And I left that place not really thinking about my haircut. I was thinking about, wow, people watch. People notice. People care when you step outside of your church walls. Well, how does all that matter at Campbell River Baptist Church? Well, I think as the vision of your leadership team, as we talked about yesterday at the seminar, there was over 40 people there. They were excited. You've got a wonderful core of people, and I think if you can join together, you're going to start to see some incredible things happen here in Campbell River. You know, I need to add in a quick qualifier about this passage. When Jesus originally spoke these words, he was speaking to a pretty diverse crowd. He was speaking on a hillside to a whole bunch of first century Jewish people. Some of them were completely ready to follow Jesus. There were some skeptics in the crowd. There were some prostitutes. There was some tax collectors. There was the seedy side of their culture. There was the really religious Pharisees and the scribes and teachers of the law who were there with arms folded, not ready to accept Jesus. And when Jesus says, "You are salt, you are light," he proclaimed it to this entire crowd. And I think that would have been a pretty surprising thought. I think some of the people would have looked around and go, "This is the light of the world? This is a pretty dark world." I think it would have been pretty surprising. But I think when we look at Jesus' words, we realize that what Jesus is saying is that inside each and every human being, inside the human heart, is an ability, if you turn your heart to Christ, that you can allow that desire to love and serve. It can flower, it can flourish. And inside each of us is the potential to be salt and light. And I think that's one of the most amazing experiences that I've learned over the last 3.5 years, is that a lot of people who wouldn't say, "I go to church, I don't know Jesus," a lot of those people have a really strong desire to help. And you'll be surprised, as you guys begin to do bigger things in your community, you'll have a lot of people come alongside you. And it's wonderful. Invite them in. Give them an apron. Give them a flipper. Give them work gloves. Let them work alongside you. And an exciting thing will begin to happen. You will form relationships with them. And as time goes by, as credibility is built in their minds, you're going to see them walk through the doors of your church. Well, my third and final point is, who gets the glory, me or God? I want to read verse 16 one last time, but I'm going to emphasize a few words. And I want to see if you catch them. Jesus says, "In the same way, let your light shine before men." As we learned, men, women, children, teenagers, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Now, when we read it like that, if you've been in church a long time, that makes you a little bit nervous. It sounds like what we do is pretty important, that they're going to watch our deeds. But how can that be right? We've been taught for many years that anything we do, any good we do, all our righteousness is kind of like filthy rags, as it says in that verse in Isaiah. So what is going on here? How can this be that way? You know, I think ultimately Jesus says, relax. When you begin to do good things as a church, people first see you as a human being. They first see you as a person doing those things. But Jesus makes an incredible promise. He says it won't take long before they take what they're seeing you do, what they're experiencing your good actions to do, and they're going to flip it and turn it, not into praise for you and I, but into praise for God. I think sometimes I've encountered people who say something like, you know, I'm no good. I'm a dirty, filthy sinner. There's really no good that I can do. I'm lower than a worm's belly. And that sounds really spiritual, really humble, but I don't think that's the complete picture. Because I think Jesus says, you know what? You are sinful, but that's why I came. You're forgiven, you're free. We don't need to live in our sin, we need to live in the freedom of God. And I think if we tend to overemphasize that anything we do isn't worth much, it demotivates us. It doesn't motivate us. When I was at grad school at Regent College in Vancouver, one of my favorite profs, Daryl Johnson, told a story that really clicked in my mind and made this all make sense to me. Daryl is one of the most gifted preachers, one of the most gifted speakers I've ever heard. Incredible, incredible man. And when he started out, he was working in a Presbyterian church in California. Big church. He was a young pastor, and he was so gifted at speaking that he became the main speaker of that church. And in that church, they had a huge pulpit. It was massive, and it had a stairwell that you climbed up in, and you climbed this ring of stairs, and you finally got up to the pulpit. And it was a big, high stage, and he would look down on the people. And every single week, as Daryl spoke, so many of the people would, after the service, they'd say, wow, Pastor Daryl, that was an amazing sermon. And being a young guy, he started to struggle with pride. All this affirmation. And his ego began to swell a little bit. Well, Daryl had a mentor, an older, wiser Presbyterian pastor who was retired. And he finally confessed to him. He said, all this accolades, all these pats on the back, and beginning to struggle with pride. And the older, wiser Presbyterian minister said, you know, Daryl, I know exactly what you should do. He said, next time you go up to preach, as you're walking across that stage, as you're walking up that stairwell to get into that pulpit, he says, this is what you need to pray. You need to say, Jesus, I want people to like me. And Daryl stopped and he says, no, that's my problem. And he said, will you be quiet? Will you let me finish? He said, sorry. He says, this is what you need to pray. You need to pray, Jesus, I want people to like me as I speak this morning. But more than that, I want them to love you. And he said, you see, Daryl, humility isn't about making yourself worth nothing. It's about being in the proper order. When it's God, others, and then you, that's the proper order. And I think I've realized that as we've begun to do things in our church. At first, people begin to know our church name. They begin to recognize us. We're on the map of their consciousness. But then, it pretty quickly turns into questions about God. So why are you guys serving? Why do you want to do this? Why are you giving us this? And then it's a wonderful opening, and you just talk about God and what he's doing. I want to tell you one last story. We have a grocery store in Ladysmith. I found out you guys are on the 50th parallel. Ladysmith is on the 49th parallel. And so our grocery store is called 49th Parallel Grocery. And there are four managers at the store. And they had decided they wanted to do something for the local community food bank. And so they gathered together and they said, I think we could hold a food raiser for our food bank. And so they filled up those brown paper shopping bags full of $35 or $40 worth of groceries and then would only charge $20. And they stapled them, put a little label on them, and then they asked the local Kinsman Club to come and do the work. So they set up 10 empty buggies. People would buy this bag of groceries, come out, put it in, make a contribution to the food bank, and the Kinsmen decided to sell hot dogs by donation, and the first one went really, really well, and they were so pleased with it that 4 or 5 months later, the managers were sitting around. They said, hey, we would like to do that for the food bank again. But we can't ask the kinsmen. We've already asked them. They're really busy. Who should we ask? And one of the managers, his name is Will, and we've gotten to know Will over the past few years. And he said, guys, you know, there's a church in town, Ocean View Community Church. He said, they really love to serve. We should call them. And so they said, great, Will, you make the call. Let's see if we can get them down here. And so they called, and we went down. It was a great day on a Saturday. And we flipped hot dogs and ended up raising, I think, $550 of cash and over $500 of food. And we were able to hand that to the food bank. But the really exciting thing for everyone from our church who came down and served was as they were doing that simple task, how it led to so many conversations about God, about Jesus. People saying, why do you do this? Why did you give up your time? Why are you doing this? And they said, well, here's the reason, and it's Jesus. So Campbell River Baptist Church, as I finish up this morning, we're never sure what the future holds. I don't know all the opportunities that God's going to give this church to uniquely love and serve this city. But I am absolutely confident that if our hearts say, Lord, whatever it is, I'm willing, that God is going to do some amazing things in your church and in your community. If you keep yourself dependent not on your own strength, but on his strength, then God is going to do more than you could ask or imagine. And you can know the little Ocean View Community Church down in Ladysmith, that Saanich Baptist Church in Victoria, that churches slowly across this country are catching the same vision. They're doing the same things. And if we're faithful, if we keep praying, if we keep asking God for opportunities, I think God is going to do something in our country that's unprecedented and something that will cause many, many, many folks to know about him for the very first time. And I don't know about you, but I think that's the kind of hope-filled future that's worth getting out of the bed in the morning. Amen?
Thank you so much, Pastor Darren. Pastor Robin is at Pastor Darren's church, so I'm sure Robin is still speaking, but it's good. No, God bless him. I'm going to get killed in staff meeting tomorrow. Brian and Ricky's little girl, Emma, spiked a really high fever, and they had some trouble subsiding it, but it looks like, I just got a message on Morgan's Facebook there that it is, it has broke, but they're praying that it stays that way. So I'm just wondering if someone would come forward. I could do it, but I'm wondering if someone could come forward and just pray for Brian and Ricky and baby Emma. Can someone do that this morning? Anybody?
Let's pray. God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we can come together as a body of believers, and that we can come boldly before your throne, that we are your family. And God, we just we want to ask that you would be with Brian and Ricky and Emma down in Victoria, that you would comfort them, God, that you would give them wisdom, that you would, through your Spirit, raise your word in their hearts and in their minds and encourage them in that way. Give them opportunities to bear witness for the peace that they have through this to others. God, we just pray that you touch Emma. We thank you so much that the fever has broken. We just pray for wisdom for the doctors, that they would be able to figure out what's causing it and that it would stay away. And God, we thank you that you are able to do all of these things, so much more than we ask or imagine. And I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.